You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. The sound of the start of another edition of the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blewett along with my co-host George Kurtz, and we'll be taking you around the world of the NFL for the next 2 hours. The page has turned. It's been turning. It's officially turned. We're not going to do too much baseball. You can always give us a call or hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio or call us at 844-843-6879. If you have any questions about baseball, we can take them. But clearly it's draft season. George, we had some more NFL action last night, and your Cowboys were in the mix playing the LA Rams.
They're not my Cowboys. I don't own a piece of them.
Fair in fantasy wise, yes, but
I wish I did.
They are very much, Jerry's world and under Jerry's thumb. So the good news for them is that they somehow forced 5 fumbles in one half.
It was pretty ugly football in that game. I mean, there's fumbles, interceptions. I think. The Cowboys back a quarterback. I know everyone's freaking out. Cowboy Land's freaking out about Kellen Moore. He was terrible last night. Right. I just always find that funny when you're freaking out about the backup quarterback. Folks, if your starting quarterback goes down, it don't really matter who the backup is unless you have an elite one.
Totally agree. As a Steelers fan and a guy that has watched Ben Roethlisberger go down multiple times, you're just always holding your breath. And I've never for a second thought, well, you know what? If he goes down, Landry Jones can kind of do this. No. The goal is the Super Bowl. They can't get to the Super Bowl if Landry Jones is the quarterback. It's over when something like that happens. So I tend to agree with your analysis.
Yeah, I said, that's why I never really freak out about it. You'd like to have a backup who can go 500. You know, if he's out 4 games, you go 2-2, you'd like that. Everybody's all Cooper Rush now. Everybody's all, he's the next Tony Romo, undrafted guy they found out of nowhere, that sort of thing. That's the same thing. Like I said, you think if Dak Prescott goes down this year, you're going to do much with Cooper Rush? Good luck to you. You know, and those Tony Romos don't come along very often when an undrafted player becomes somebody decent at quarterback. I wouldn't be relying on that.
Yeah, Justin Davis from the Rams looked actually, he provided a little bit of a spark with Gurley only getting 4 touches for a couple of yards. Jared Goff was not in there long at all. I was watching some of the coverage too, where I think Heath Evans and some of the guys in the studio of the NFL Network were a little surprised that Jared Goff wasn't out there more, George.
Yeah, he's a guy you would think would need as much work as possible. But hey, so we know NFL teams. You don't want to take a chance of getting your starters hurt, especially in week 1 of the preseason. So I don't blame the coaching staff either. But I don't know if I was surprised is the right word, but I thought they might play him a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you just said, there's no reason to freak out over preseason games because these guys are going to figure out exactly how much work they're getting. But ultimately, Jerry Goff's going to see a lot more time, I think, later in the preseason. They're just getting him some reps. I'm not that disappointed in it. We'll talk a little bit more about this game and the others that occurred yesterday. Talk about the Flex Leagues drafts that happened yesterday. So it's Mike and George for the next 2 hours on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on a Fantasy Sports Radio Network, which can be heard on the app, Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. We're also expanding into other outlets like iHeartRadio and TuneIn, so hopefully you can hear us there. But wherever you happen to be listening to us, that's great. Fantasy Sports Radio on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. So hit us up with any and all questions today. We were starting to get a lot more questions yesterday in the on social media, so we know that people's drafts are heating up. We're getting all kinds of draft questions, trade questions, things of that nature. So, George, to get back to a little bit of the action last night, like I said, the Rams fumbled 5 times in the first half. As you said, it was ugly football. Sean Mannion got most of the snaps for the Rams. He went 18 of 25. You said Cooper Rush Got a lot of snaps for the Cowboys. He went 9 of 11 for 104 and a touchdown. I think I was already asleep by the time that happened. But Kellen Moore really did look rough. I'm not freaked out about it, but, you know, a guy like that that's been in the league for a few years already, he goes 8 of 17 for 69 yards. It always looks kind of funny. There's one play. You know, as a left-handed quarterback, I'm a left-handed, so I kind of secretly root for those guys. But he's got flushed out of the pocket, and he's going to his right, and he's trying to throw back left-handed and into coverage. It was a disaster. He just looked very uncomfortable for most of the night.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dallas is kidding themselves if they think they're going anywhere if Dak Prescott goes down with Kellen Moore as your backup quarterback. I mean, listen, you want to get into the fun and games? Would Kaepernick make sense here? He would. You know, a mobile quarterback, and that's what Dallas runs with Dak Prescott. He would fit the team. I'm one of those guys who doesn't believe Dak Prescott would be a fit for a lot of teams. He goes to the type of quarterback he is, and the offense would have to change a little bit.
Yeah.
But Dallas is not one of those teams. That being said, I don't see signing him. Kellen Moore is at best an average backup, and that may be putting it nicely.
Yeah, I don't think he's even there. Smaller guy too, so he's not. They were joking. They were like openly making fun of him at the end of the first half. As to they were making bets, whoever it was in the booth, I can't remember. It wasn't Trent Green.
Yeah.
They were making fun of him in the booth as to whether or not he could reach the end zone from his own 45, Hail Mary at the end of the first half.
55-yard play, yeah.
They ended up taking a knee. So they didn't even get a chance to settle the bet. So Justin Davis, though, a guy there on the Rams depth chart, he's the one guy that kind of stood out during the game. He showed some explosive speed. He had a 32-yard run. Unfortunately, he fumbled a couple of times. So clearly, he's not going to be on the field much if that happens when it comes to the regular season, if he can even make the team with all those fumbling issues. On the flip side of things, on the running for running backs, George, you had Darren McFadden, obviously, and Alfred Morris filling in for Zeke Elliott for the time being. And there was some thought amongst the analysts last night that they've really lost a lot when it comes to explosive plays and whatnot. I think it's a little bit too small of a sample size to judge last night's game. But in general, we talked a lot about Zeke Elliott yesterday. Do you think that they are going to miss a lot of those big plays, or can the offensive line open it up for these players too?
Well, the offensive line will open it up, but you're going to miss big plays, yes. I mean, like I said, Darren McFadden may get 3, 4, 5 yards on a play where Zeke gets 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it's just the way it is. Ezekiel's a better runner in their careers. You know, so, yes, you're going to miss those plays. Keep in mind, last night, Dallas didn't start all their offensive line. You know, it's a preseason game. So trying to judge a lot off one preseason game is a little silly. You know, McFadden, as things stand now, we'll say this again. You have to assume that Elliott is going to be suspended from week one for 6 games. Yeah, you know, I know there's probably going to be court action, lawyers, and all this other stuff. Yeah, you know, but right now we have to assume for drafting today that Ezekiel Elliott's gone 6 games. McFadden's going to start. His value is up as a top 30 running back, so he's up comes in that in the 28-29 range for me, somewhere around there. You know, he's a guy where if you're going to draft Ezekiel Elliott in round 3. You better make sure you get Darren McFadden. You probably have to spend a round 7, round 8 draft pick to get him.
Very true. So we will talk a little bit about Zeke Elliott later. There was the Flex League drafts occurred yesterday, organized by our very own Jake Seeley. A lot of industry people competed in those. Corey Parson did a lot of content on it yesterday here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. But we'll review, excuse me, where certain guys have gone yesterday in the draft. There was both a non-PPR and a PPR Flex Leagues draft yesterday, Super Flex format. So we'll go over that a little bit later this hour and let you know exactly where Zeke Elliott went. Our very own Mike Florio took him in one of those drafts. So game I watched a little bit of last night. So I watched some of the Cowboys Rams. I was on a little bit later, so I had to hit the hay at some point, even though I caught that first half. But a game that I regret watching was the Jets and the Titans. 7-3 final.
It's on the NFL Network now.
Yeah. They should condense that replay to a half an hour at most. Alex Tanney, took most of the snaps for the Titans yesterday. He went to Monmouth College in Illinois. I don't even know what that is. I know a lot about college football and college athletics in general, at least so far as where the schools are. I've never even heard of that school. So Alex Tanny, 11 of 27 for 132. He threw a pick. It was mostly ugly football there as well, George. Although Christian Hackenberg goes 18 of 25 for 127.
Oh, I've drafted him. Quarterback one for me. Not kidding. The Jets and Titans are actually on the NFL Network now. You said the final was 7-3?
Yes.
Well, that's disappointing because right now it's 7-0 Jets and it's 5 minutes into the first quarter.
Yeah, you're not going to see much.
I'm not going to watch. See, not all that much for the rest of the game. Thanks, Mike. You ruined it for me.
Yeah, so Josh McCown hit Robbie Anderson with a 53-yard pass, and there was like a buzz on Twitter about it, which reminded me of the play that happened on Friday night where Alex Smith hit Tyreek Hill for a 32-yard pass early in the game. And it's like, can we just – they are professional football players. Can we not get excited about the one pass play that doesn't matter at all? It's not going to push people up and down the depth chart. Although I will ask this. Robbie Anderson now seems to be – number one wide receiver in New York. What kind of value does he have for you?
None. Listen, you want to Jets at the end of your draft, a dartboard throw, fine. The Jets, I mean, we've made so many jokes. Well, we have the overall now at 20 touchdowns for the season. And that's not a joke. That's really pretty much what we believe. Robbie Anderson is not an elite wide receiver at all.
No.
You know, so what are you expecting here? I mean, 65 catches, 800 yards, 3-4 touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
I think that's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, is that his upside?
Like, what did Jeremy Curley do? Let's look up. I'll look up as you're talking about it. I'll look up Jeremy Curley's stats.
A lot of balls.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Curley caught a lot of balls, but he had a better quarterback.
Yeah, a guy that can't get a job.
Right, you can make an argument he had a better running back, too, and Carlos Hyde there. So, like I said, it's not a lot for me to like here. So I think all of a sudden this guy's going to be all that good. He's going to be great. He's going to, light it up. Like I said, you want to take him as a bench wide receiver late? I don't have a problem with that. We're all going to take guys that we're going to hope play well at the end of our drafts. And someone does have to be the number one wide receiver for the Jets, but I just don't see what the upside is here. I'd rather go with somebody else who might do more damage than he will. So I'm not going to see big things here, no.
So the reason I brought up Jeremy Curley is because it's comparable in some ways to a team that is really offensively challenged, and he is the de facto number one wide receiver, which Jeremy Curley really was last year. He saw 115 targets, George. He only caught 64 passes, but 667 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, if you can sign Robbie Anderson up for that in a PPR league, he's fantasy relevant. Now, Sherrone Peak, who caught the touchdown last night, I don't know where he's at, but I just get concerned about fantasy owners digging deep on the good teams. Like, who's going to be the Packers' fourth wide receiver? As opposed to being like, wait, Robbie Anderson's going to have to catch 65 balls.
Yeah, I get where you're going with it. You get the number one guy on a bad team or number three guy on a good team.
Yeah.
What has more value here? As far as Anderson's concerned, like I said, I'd have no problem with you want to draft him as your wide receiver 5. You're going to start 3, you got to flex. You might have 5-6 wide receivers on your team. I have no issues with that. You see what it looks like. I don't know. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. In my mind, if Hackenberg looks any kind of good, you have to start him and find out if he's your quarterback in the future, right? This way you know what to do next year's draft, because you're, in all likelihood, going to have a top 3, top 5 pick at worst. So I would start Hackenberg. That's the way I would go about it from the Jets. But, hey, it's the Jets. We don't know what they're going to do. Like I said, bottom of my draft, Mike, because he could be a guy who catches 60 balls, 800 yards, 3-4 touchdowns. That does have some value.
Yeah, so I'll ask you this. Would you rather have Robbie Anderson or Brandon Coleman?
I'd probably go Coleman. He's also the number 3 there, pass-heavy offense. I think I'd go Coleman.
Oh, that's bad news for the Jets. Sorry, Jets fans. come back. We'll keep talking about players,
sure,
talking about results from last
night. Breaking news, bad news for the Jets.
Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Roto Experts. It's Mike and George. Coming up after our show, we're going to have Fantasy Football Goal. That's with Matt Modica and Tony Sincotta. After that, it's Al Melchior doing FanRag Fantasy Baseball. So to baseball fans, we still have baseball content on here all the way through the end of the year. Al's on 12 to 2, and then it's the producers after that, I believe. So in any event, we will keep going through. Well, the only other game last night was Raiders-Cardinals, and E.J. Manuel got some work for the Raiders. He went 10 of 12 for 107. Connor Cook, 10 of 21 for 82 yards, so Cook obviously doesn't play. Carson Palmer actually got out there, threw a touchdown pass, 4 of 8 for 39 yards. As far as the rest of the action, not too much there. Britton Golden catches the touchdown pass. Troy Nicklaus caught a touchdown pass for the Cardinals. On the Raiders side of things, who's that, Crockett? Crockett and Tubbs? Crockett had a one-yard...
Love that show.
Had a touchdown. Yeah, I know you do. You love the... You're old school. That show, old school fantasy football that was on for a while, you're perfect for that because you definitely are an 80s, 70s kind of guy with music, with TV. That's your sweet spot.
It is. I can't argue with you. You're absolutely right. It is. I think old school fantasy is coming back eventually.
Well, that's good. So we will stay tuned. Stay tuned for those changes. So in any event, I don't know what you can get out of this. It's E.J. Manuel versus Drew Stanton, but Carson Palmer did get out there and threw a touchdown pass. So I'll ask you about Carson Palmer in general. Carson Palmer, for you, I think you've sort of been on board with him being a sneaky late quarterback. But what are your expectations for him? Do you think he cracks? Do you think he can crack the top 12 last year? Because I've looked at him a little bit like you and I looked at Matt Ryan last year, where he could have a big year that people are overlooking.
Well, if you remember on yesterday's show, I said I had 17 quarterbacks that I wouldn't mind taking as quarterback one.
Yes.
Palmer's not one of them.
Whoa.
You know, but he's a quarterback. I don't mind having him in a super flex or two quarterback leagues. But he just misses. You know, I can't put him above a Prescott, Stafford, Taylor, Eli, Roethlisberger. I can't put him above those guys. Those guys are outside of my top 12 as well. So I can't quite do that. But if he had a terrible year last year, and it was mainly the first probably two-thirds of the season. He played better the last third. So for whatever reason, I find that unusual. You thought somebody of his age, it might be reversed. You know, they would get tired or banged up as the season wore along. Now, he thought about retirement, and I sort of believe with Bill Parcells, that his statement always said that if you're thinking about retirement, you're already retired. So that worries me as well here. But that being said, I think he can do some damage. He's if you like to have a second quarterback on your team, your standard league, one quarterback league, and you draft a second quarterback, he's not someone I mind having as a stopgap, a guy you might even plug in there every now and then. If you're, Derek Carr's going up against Denver and you want to sit him that week, and Palmer's got the 49ers, I don't mind that. You know, it's something I don't mind doing there. The offense still is a good offense. I think Palmer could do some damage at times, but in a one quarterback league, I'm not drafting him as a starter.
Let me stay on that thought for a minute, because you said if you like having a second quarterback, I can tell you in some industry leagues this year, I've seen guys take second quarterbacks and I've refrained. I'm of the opinion that if I go up and I take Drew Brees, I don't really need to get the second guy to back him up. Drew Brees is going to play 15 of 16 weeks, just resting for the bye. I don't really feel the need to go out and get somebody until that bye week starts to approach, 2-3 weeks away. I'll see who's out there on the waiver wire. Are you of the same mindset, or you feel like you have to snag a second guy just in case?
I'm generally of the same mindset. There are two things that'll change my mind. One, do I have a quarterback that gets hurt all the time? You know, Ben Roethlisberger comes to mind. Although I don't have him in my top 12 either, but do I have somebody who, like I said, I think could get hurt? Do I worry about it? Obviously, if you have Eli Manning, you're not worried about it. He never gets hurt. So that'd be one. Two is, you're in round, 13. My God, there are six backup quarterbacks who are already gone. Then I might grab one, Mike, because, if six are back, gone, we're talking about 18 gone now. I better grab a backup in case for my bye week one, in case I do get that injury. And the other reason would be, let's just say there's just nobody on the board I like, man. There's no one. I have running backs and wide receivers. They're all pick clean. I'm in round. You know, generally, you have 16 rounds. I'm in round 14. I don't have anybody that has a backup I want. I have two backup running backs, two backup wide receivers. I don't want to take a kicker or a defense yet or whatever it might be. But there's a decent backup quarterback there. Carson Palmer could be one of those guys. Like I said, I have him at 18, so he definitely could be a guy. He'd be the seventh backup off the board. You know, I think Carson Wentz could be there. Even Jay Cutler. We make fun of Jay Cutler, but I think he's a decent backup quarterback. Andy Dalton would fit in this range as well. And yet then I might draft one. So I'm probably 50-50. But going into a draft, I never plan on drafting a backup quarterback.
You know, I'm changing topics here, wide ranging, but you keep bringing up players that I don't think we've talked too much about. And you brought up Andy Dalton there, who, according to Fantasy Pros, is currently the 17th quarterback, ranked 17th quarterback. Carson Palmer's 19th. To compare the two, in the middle of them is Eli. Tyrod Taylor at 16, Carson Wentz at 20. So there's the range of those quarterbacks. What is your expectation for Andy Dalton this year? I have a lot of concerns because people are very high on Joe Mixon this year. A.J. Green is obviously amongst the very elite wide receivers in the entire league. I have a lot of concerns about this offensive line, and I feel like it might make everything fall apart in that offense.
You've convinced me. I mean, you've been on this horn now for weeks, I guess probably since you wrote your article.
Yeah.
And about the bad offensive line, that Mixon's going to have some problems, and obviously that should lead to problems with the passing game as well if they can't pass protect. So you have definitely convinced me here that there's an issue here. I have Dalton at 18. So once again, he's out of my top 17. Don't want him as a quarterback one. I still don't want him as a quarterback two. All the quarterback twos have issues. So I would take him there. But yeah, so you've definitely convinced me that he's a problem. The offensive line's not going to be able to protect him. Got A.J. Green, a couple of young running backs there. Tyler Eifert is back for now. Maybe he stays healthy. Maybe he doesn't. I probably like Dalton more than most, but still, I couldn't make him crack the top 17. And I do think there's some issues there. So I guess I'm worried about the entire offense now. Thanks,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to frame that, too, because it concerns me, particularly in relation to Mixon and how high people are on him. Now, Gio Bernard, you're getting at a really good value. And in PPR leagues, I think Gio Bernard's a fantastic player. So you get him out in space, I think he can do some damage. And to compare, let's think of two teams last year that had real offensive line issues, George, in the Giants and the Vikings. Those teams weren't bereft of fantasy value, right? Eli had a disappointing year, but he was a QB2. Sam Bradford broke a record that's kind of a farce in the completion percentage record, but he was a QB2. Kyle Rudolph had some value. Odell Beckham obviously had tons of value. Sterling Shepard was good. So I don't want to suggest that on teams with offensive line issues, you can't extract value out of it. I just get really concerned with where Mixon is going. I think A.J. Green is going to be fine because A.J. Green's going to be one-on-one with good corners, and he's going to dominate them anyway. I just wonder if the offense is less efficient than they have been in the past, whether it was A.J. McCarron or Andy Dalton or whomever was quarterbacking. So that's my concern with Andy Dalton. I just want to put that on record. And it's more Joe Mixon than anything else. I just don't know that Dalton can have that, you know, that big year that he had a couple of years ago, which the further we get away from it seems more and more like a fluke.
I agree. You know, he had the one career season fantasy-wise where he was, I think, top eight fantasy quarterback. And that does happen. You know, I think it could happen again. Carson Palmer could be that guy this year who breaks up out of nowhere. Maybe it's Carson Wentz. Yeah, none of this would surprise me at all if someone breaks into it. We see it all in every fantasy sport. There's always a guy we had on the outside who ends up being on the inside. Ends up being a quarterback one in this case. Wouldn't shock me at all, but I'm not going to bank on it.
A couple of games today, for those of you that are NFL junkies, you're going to have Indianapolis hosting Detroit, and you're going to have the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers tonight, hosting Seattle Seahawks. You're not going to see Andrew Luck, that's for sure. Maybe Matt Stafford gets out there for a quick sweat, as does Phil Rivers and Russell Wilson, but you're not going to see much of them at all tonight. I don't know that there's anything you're going to see tonight that can give you anything, especially from the Colts' perspective, because until Luck gets back in there, we're not going to know what anything looks like. I doubt Frank Gore plays, so you're going to really determine if Marlon Mack and Robert Turbin, whether that has shifted. I doubt it, but is there anything that you're going to pull out of these two games?
I mean, Luck's not going to play. We know that. So there's that for everything in Indianapolis, that's BS because it's not what you're expecting anyway. So I look at preseason for two things. One, players who were injured last year coming back. So I guess you could say Carr, but we all know he looks fine. So I'm not really worried about that. And the other thing is positional battles. You know, guys who are battling, who you're looking at, that might want a position, but it's still week one of the preseason. You know, a lot of starters aren't going to play. So even if that positional battle that guy plays, if he's not playing with other starters, you're not getting an accurate assessment anyway. So it's difficult in week one. It's really week two and week three where you make all your judgments.
This is true. So when we come back after the break, we'll take a look at some injuries. There's not too many out there, luckily, on the offensive side of the ball yet. We'll take a look at the Flex Leagues draft that was done yesterday. I think we're going to do the PPR one. And guys like Chris Harris, Jake Seeley was in two drafts yesterday. He organizes the Flex drafts. He's in two drafts. He gets a number two pick in both. How does that happen?
Rigged.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I didn't want to be the one to say it, but what's going on? Who's kidding who here? Jarrett Behar is in that. Jen Ryan, Football Diehards. Brandon Marianne Lee. Adam Ronis. Tim Heaney. Joe Pisapia, our very own colleague. Scott Pianowski, who I was in a draft with a couple of weeks ago. Matt Modica, again, our colleague. Mike Florio, our colleague. And Mike Clay. So a bunch of Roto experts and fantasy sports radio network guys in there. And we'll take a look at that draft after the break. Superflex format and PPR as well. So we'll talk about the injuries. Jaguars have a couple of guys coming back with Calais Campbell and Jalen Ramsey coming off the PUP list. So talk about that and more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George. We're here until 10. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George, we're going to go over the Flex League draft, the PPR draft, in a couple of minutes. But I did mention some injuries, and I'd be remiss. I know we turn the page over to football, but I would be remiss, and I credit George to reminding me to just at least talk about it. For those baseball fans out there, fantasy or otherwise, I hope you are aware at this point that Bryce Harper was injured last night running a ball out to first base. It looked really bad. It looked like a pretty severe hyperextension, and it's leading to an MRI. So obviously to those fantasy owners, it could potentially crush your season as you get into the home stretch. But to the rest of baseball fans, it's just not a good thing. You don't want to see a guy like that go down. And George, it didn't look pretty at all. He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, he actually have two injuries here. It could be a hyperextension, although didn't look like it was a hyperextension. It looked like that knee twisted, so that's worse. Obviously, there could be some ligament damage in there. It could be meniscus, ACL, PCL, MCL. None of it would surprise me as far as that. He also turned his foot as well, foot/ankle, so he could have a sprain there as well. It's one of those things where, this is what drives me insane about some of the people in our industry who are trying to make a big deal that it was the Nationals' fault for playing the game. Listen, he slipped on the base, folks. This wasn't a big puddle in the outfield.
No.
Yeah, you know, I mean, went ran on first base, and as he reached for the base, you know, his cleats or his spikes didn't grab the base. He slipped off it. Then when his foot did grab on the dirt, you saw it all went to hell. That's what happened here. So, brutal. Just brutal from what you could see there. We don't know yet. I have been looking this morning to see if there's any news. I'm not surprised. This only happened about 9 hours ago.
Yeah.
So assuming he's had an MRI, we haven't heard yet. We should hear at some point, I would think late this morning, early this afternoon. Hopefully Tony Sincotta, Matt Modica might have an update for you if the news comes down during their show. If something does pop up during ours, I'll say it. But I think the biggest problem with fantasy owners is, you know, in this season, lots of DL moves, right? You don't have many guys or many openings on your DL area. It's already August 12th, 13th. What if he's out 4 to 6 weeks? Are you holding on to him for that last 2 weeks to hold? He can give you that push? Or do you move on because you have other guys on the DL and they're coming back earlier that can help you right away? It's going to be a very tough choice for fantasy owners if it's a 4 to 6 week injury. If it's only 2 weeks, then you should consider yourself very lucky.
I would agree with all of those things. I would probably be leaning towards keeping Harper if it's a 4 to 6 weeks, just because, I mean, who the hell are you going to replace him with? But I understand what you're saying. There could be roster management issues there for a lot of people. So, again, we will keep you updated here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, whether it's during our show, Tony and Matt's show after this, which is Fantasy Football Gold, or Al Melchior after that, which is 12 to 2. So in any event, we'll be on all day and give you an update. And I'm sure there'll be some update, but I guess I shouldn't say sure. There'll probably be an update by the end of the day, because I'm sure he got an MRI nearly immediately if the swelling wasn't too bad. So in any event, so that's the baseball injury to be concerned with. Football injuries. You have Jalen Ramsey, George, who's a very high draft pick for the Jaguars just a year ago. He comes off the PUP, and he is coming out. He came out to practice. Obviously, they signed A.J. Bouye during the offseason. I bring these up because while most of you don't play in IDP leagues, some of our listeners do, individual defensive players. And above and beyond that, the Jaguars have invested a lot in this defense over the last 2 years trying to fix it. And you were a year early on the Jaguars last year, George, but given all of the additions they've made, do you actually expect there to be a turnaround this year?
I will never root for the Jaguars ever again. Ever. All right? Go Titans.
Egg on your face from last year.
Yeah, that didn't work out. That didn't work out so well.
No.
That didn't work out so well at all. Jaguars pretty much fell off the deep end last year. Jalen Ramsey, a player some people thought the Cowboys should have taken over Elliott last year. Might have worked out a little differently. Might be a little happier right about now. He had core muscle surgery, so he's back. He'll be fine. IDP-wise, if you're playing in IDP leagues, by the way, cornerbacks, unless your scoring system's really out there, don't mean all that much. Maybe you're rewarding passes defense. But so I'm not worried about him as far as IDP leagues are concerned. They, once again, the Jaguars have improved. You know, they've added the right pieces. They added some pieces on defense. You had Fournette on offense during the draft. You know, Marquise Lee came out of nowhere last year. You're not going to have Bortles throw the ball as much, because Colvin's going to go there and take charge. You're going to run the ball, play some defense. And I don't know, maybe you'll go 8-8. Bortles looks terrible so far, you know, in camp. He hasn't looked all that great. Yeah, right. Now that he's doesn't have to throw the ball as much, also he can't throw the ball at all. So strange situation. Maybe he's feeling the pressure that if he doesn't get it done, his job is gone. So
he's
a
right.
lot of strange situation.
He's right.
Yeah, maybe it should be gone. Strange situation going down there in Jacksonville.
Look, he's been given a chance. Now he has an offensive-minded head coach. You got Tom Coughlin obviously overseeing the whole thing. Blake's job is on the line. That's it. They're going to throw a lot less if this works out the way they want it to. They drafted a workhorse running back and a left tackle in the first two rounds of the draft. They added all of these guys on defense in the last 2 years. They're obviously trying to take the ball out of his hands on some level so that he throws the ball less than he could. Now, if this falls apart, I don't expect it to fall apart like it did last year, but you know, if he's got to throw the ball over the yard again, hello, pick sixes. I mean, he's just going to rack him up. So, moving on, Dolphins officially shut down Ryan Tannehill. You know that. Center Mike Pouncey moved past individual drills and took snaps with the first team offense for the first time in camp over this weekend. So that's good. Offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil returned to practice after missing several days due to a personal matter. The Broncos have had a bunch of injuries on their defensive line, George. It's kind of freaky because Derek Wolfe is their starting defensive end. He has a sprained ankle. Shane Ray hurt his he has a hand ligament torn, so he's out and may miss the beginning of the regular season. Billy Wynn is another defensive lineman for them. He tore his ACL. He's out for the year. So I talked a little bit about snake pit teams yesterday. The Dolphins seem to be one. I just hope the Broncos aren't in the same boat. They've lost three off defensive linemen just during camp.
Yeah, I believe Derek Wolfe tweeted out a picture of his ankle yesterday.
Gross.
Yeah, that didn't look pretty at all. Thanks, Derek. I didn't need to see that.
I didn't need to see it either.
But This happens every. I mean, you talked about it yesterday, Mike. There are always teams that seem to be snake bit, getting a lot of injuries. Baltimore. Everybody knows about Baltimore. They've been pretty much got the sniper in the stands there, picking people off one by one. So not a good thing here. It's not what you Joe Girardi would say. It's not what you want. But you still have a month before the regular season, right? A little less, about 28 days. So maybe these guys can get healthy, get back on the field. But it is concerning somewhat, especially for the Broncos, where the strength of their team is going to be that defense, because they're going to want that defense to sort of allow them to bring along Simeon or Paxton Lynch if they so choose, slowly. Slowly to see which quarterback should be there, be their long-term signal caller here. So I have faith that with a month, they'll get these guys back.
So two more injuries I want to talk about. One, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, with a shoulder, will return to practice this week. But Coach Doug Peterson said he hasn't decided if Jeffrey will play in the preseason or take full team work. Now, I want to do a little bit more research on this to figure out what the hell that means, but I don't know what that means. What do you mean he won't play in the preseason? You just signed the guy to a big deal. You're not going to have him run routes in games with Carson Wentz throwing the ball. It's odd.
Because he's new to the team. Be different if he was, A.J. Green.
I agree.
Dez Bryant.
It's really different.
That guy has been there for 3-4 years, who knows the system and has the chemistry with the quarterback. You're talking about a guy who doesn't. I get why. Because he gets hurt all the time. He's always hurt, always injured, and you're worried about this. So I get why. But I think that's an interesting way to go about it. If you're already worried about protecting him, week one of the preseason, you're not going to play him at all preseason, man, then I probably wouldn't sign a guy like this.
I don't think I'm going to own him at all anywhere. I just can't see myself doing it. New team, always hurt.
I own him in the Dynasty League, so I have no choice, but I'm with you.
But redraft, I can't see myself pulling the trigger. I see where he's going, and maybe I'll miss out on a big opportunity, but you know what? It happens. I miss out on big opportunities sometimes because I'm a little bit risk averse when it comes to injury-prone players. It's my fault that I didn't draft DeMarco Murray in certain years, and it'll be my fault if Alshon Jeffrey breaks out. But I've avoided him for years, and it's mostly been on my side because the guy misses so many games. Flip side of that, George, another player, I should say, is Jordan Reed. They're reevaluating tight end Jordan Reed's toe injury after the Redskins' next preseason game against the Packers next Saturday. So, Jordan Reed, again, on the shelf with a toe injury this time. If it's not one injury, it's another.
Oy.
Yeah.
Just oy. Redraft leagues, I'm not drafting him. Unless he falls to around 8, round 9, in that range. I'm not drafting as a top 4, top 5 tight end. I can't do it because then you got to spend that draft capital around 5, round 6. I just can't do it. He's hurt every damn year. And now this is a toe injury, and you got to evaluate him after next week? What the hell? I got a tough decision, Mike, in a keeper league. The draft is August 26th, which means the keepers are due. It is after next week's game, but I don't think I'll know any new news on Reed by then. I don't have a lot of great keepers here. Reed, it would be one of them that I can keep in round 7. And I don't know if I'm going to keep him round 7. Because right now, I don't know if I can rely on him.
Jordan Reed went, we'll do the Flex Cup recap. The injuries took a little bit longer than I anticipated. We'll do the Flex Cup recap in the next hour at 8:09. We'll do that. So in about 20 minutes, we'll do it. But I will say this. Jordan Reed went with the last pick of the 6th round yesterday to Chris Harris. So it has taken a toll, finally, because I was seeing people still roll the dice even when the injury news was fresh. People are still rolling the dice, being like, he'll be fine. I don't ever think that about Jordan Reed. And now?
No.
Now it's after the second preseason game that we're not even going to know.
Isn't he the guy you just said? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, 3, 4, 6 times, shame on me.
Yeah.
I don't think I can spend any kind of high draft capital on him.
Super talented. Can't spend that draft capital on him, as George just said. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour before we push on to the second hour. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Wrapping up hour number one. We're going to have Matt Modica come in a little bit early. He starts Fantasy Football Gold at, I've been saying 10, but I'm sorry, a new schedule, so it's my bad. He's going to be 9 to 12 with Tony Cincata. So Matt's going to come in here a little bit early. We'll make fun of his team that he had yesterday in the flex draft, the PPR super flex format. We'll take a look at it. I actually like his running backs a lot, so we'll talk about that in the next hour and have Matt talk about his team specifically. But George, I did see a piece of news yesterday, which fantasy owners are going to be like, why are you talking about this guy? Because I want to. Roberto Aguayo, last year's second round pick for the Tampa Bay Bucks that they traded up to get, the kicker out of Florida State, was released yesterday. He already lost the job to Nick Folk, who was given a $750,000 guaranteed salary, which basically put his job on notice months ago, or, you know, certainly before camp broke. He's gone already. Obviously, they did him a favor insofar as releasing him early so that he can maybe try out at another camp. But why would you trade up to take a kicker in the second round? This is Exhibit A, Exhibit 1000, as to why you don't do that. There's kickers everywhere available. You just need a guy to get hot and stay hot.
You know, Anthony did made this move. Take him in the second round. You said trade up to get him. Could there possibly be any more pressure on the guy?
Right.
Because he's hearing it from everybody. The media, the fans are like, what the hell? You know, why are we trading up to draft a kicker? You know, so it's a little scary. You know, and I say it's no excuse, mind you, because there's pressure all the time on kickers, right? You've got to kick
a
game-winning
field
goal
job
with 3 seconds left. You know, kick that extra point nowadays is no longer a breeze. So it's no excuse to make it in the NFL. This guy really, I mean, I'm trying to think of a phrase that I can say on air here.
Whoa.
You know, I guess I could say any phrase I want on air, but he didn't do well. You know, he dropped the ball. There we go. That's what I can get away with. He dropped the ball badly. I was thinking crap the bed, but
yeah, I know you were.
You know, it's a shame. You know, maybe he'll get another chance with somebody, and there'll be less expectations now that he's been released. But he's going to have this for the rest of his career. You know, the kicker that Tampa Bay traded up for in the second round. That's what he is. He's not Roberto Aguayo. He's the kicker Tampa Bay traded up for in the second round.
Yeah, and even more fun for him. Hard Knocks was in the room. Asked who was in the room when he cut Aguayo. This was asked to Dirk Koetter, head coach. Me, Jason, that's their GM, and Hard Knocks. So I think Jason's their GM. It might be their special teams coach. But in any event, Hard Knocks was there. So you're going to get to see that on Tuesday, the kicker cut. He was terrible last year. He missed 9 of 31 field goal attempts. He botched 2 of 34 extra point tries. His longest field goal came from 43. I will say this. I watch ACC football because I'm an ACC fan. He was an amazing kicker at Florida State. Amazing for his whole time there. Deadly accurate, hit bombs. It's a whole new ball game, my friend, when you get into the NFL. The pressure is way too great. You have a fraction less time to get that kick off. And look, I think it stinks that it's going to play out on national television. Maybe I'm an idiot for talking about it and embarrassing the guy. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to embarrass the Bucks through all this because they made a really stupid draft move. I mean, why would you ever do that? I can't remember the last time the Steelers have drafted a kicker. They drafted a punter at one point, which also wasn't great. These guys are constant. It's constant rotation. Like Nick Folk is their new kicker, George. He's been around forever. He kicked for the Jets forever.
And the Cowboys, for that matter, he's
started
with them. I agree with you. I think drafting a kicker or a punter, I'm talking drafting, not drafting in the second round, drafting, he better be the next Ray Guy or, I don't know, Jan Stenerud. There's a name for you.
Nice. Hall of Famers in their own right. Mike and George back with the second hour after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're talking flex drafts in the second hour.